अस्सलाम वालेकुम वरहमतुल्लाहि वबरकातुहू। मे पीस एंड ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ गॉड ऑलमाइटी बी अपॉन यू ऑल। सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू विश एवरीबॉडी अ हैप्पी न्यू ईयर। बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ ऑलमाइटी अल्लाह, वी बीन डूइंग आवर दिस क्लास लर्न इस्लाम क्लास सिंस 2020 एट लीस्ट। सो इट्स बीन मोर देन अबाउट 4 years नाउ, कमिंग क्लोज टू 4 years अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह। वी टुक अ ब्रेक इन नवम्बर। We carried on our classes regularly, but in November we took a break for 1 month. And one of the purposes of taking the break, as you know, that the Jalsa, the conference, was coming, and there was a lot of activities at the mosque, and Alhamdulillah, that was very successful. But beside that, beside the Jalsa, the idea was that Alhamdulillah, we've been doing the classes so consistently, so regularly. So we wanted to take a little break so that everybody can freshen up. And when we come back for such as for the meeting today, and inshallah every Thursday going forward, we would again, you know, be with attending there with that passion, with that zeal, that we want to learn. We want to remind ourselves of you know, something important, something religious, something to keep us grounded, something to keep us on the right track, inshallah. So the first question that is even often asked, that do Muslims celebrate New Year? The reason that this question may come in some people's minds is because it is often stated that as Muslims, we do not give much importance to birthdays. We do not celebrate birthdays as people often celebrate. People, you know, because of the consumerism from the Western world, we have adopted this feature in our society today, that we want to think of birthdays as a day which belongs to me, which is I own that day, and I am supposed to have the most fun on that day, and everybody's supposed to love me, shower me with like their love and gifts and everything. This idea, as I said, it's a new idea, it's an innovation. It has nothing to do with Islam or any other religion for that matter. This idea comes out of consumerism, because every day millions of people around the world are celebrating birthdays, which means that every day people are going to go out, buy gifts just for those people, to please them, to make them happy, or to show their kindness and affection towards them. Because of creating this culture of consumerism, what happens is, if someone receives 10 gifts, next person only receives 2, they themselves, the one that receive fewer gifts, feel down, right? So this whole concept, again, I don't want to get too much into that aspect of it, but in Islam, we're told that it is just another day. Birthday is just another day in the year. What's important is what you can achieve in your life. So instead of celebrating birthdays, you should be celebrating the achievements that one, you know, that we also achieve ourselves, or we achieve as a society or as a community. For example, we have our Independence Day, Emancipation Day. Similarly, you know, in Islam, we celebrate each year promised in our community, the promised Messiah Day, Khilafat Day. In regards to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, we celebrate, to celebrate his character. At least once a year, there's an event held at the mosque. So all those events that I mentioned, they do not celebrate the birthdays of any person. What do they celebrate? They celebrate an achievement. Independence Day is important in our history, so that each year we remind ourselves and our generations that are coming up that this is how the independence took place. This is what was happening before that, and this is the reason that you need to be grateful, or this is the reason that you need to take care of this country that God has blessed you with. Same thing when you look at Emancipation Day, there's a suffering, there's a pain behind that, and it creates a sense of knowing the history, but also a sense of gratefulness for what the blessings Allah has bestowed upon us today. Similarly, within the Islamic sphere, religious days as well, they are celebrated to commemorate something important in the history, right? So this is the purpose that we celebrate those days. Birthday, it's not something that is crucial, helpful, important in any way to anyone. It's just a day that we have created ourselves to make a think that, you know, this is belongs to me. Everybody on this day should pamper to me. No, we should show love and affection to each other every day of the year. And we should not set expectations, goals, and these types of things just so that, one, because, again, there's no religious founding in that, right? In Islam, we have one celebration, Eid prayer, the big Eid, right? The Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice. What are we celebrating on that day? We're celebrating the incident when Prophet Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son for the pleasure of God Almighty, thinking that this is what God wants. But then God said that, no, you have your sacrifice is accepted. It's not needed that you literally slaughter your son, right? And God Almighty forbade sacrificing of humans. So what I'm trying to say is that this is an achievement that day we remind ourselves the importance of sacrifice every year. So this is something significant. That is what we celebrate, not that we are celebrating someone's birthday, even prophets' birthdays, right? The day a prophet is born, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the most beloved of God Almighty, we don't celebrate his birthdays. Because celebrating his birthday, it is a blessed day, alhamdulillah, that God sent or that prophet was born on that day. But what's more important is what he achieved, what the message that he brought in his life, that is the real thing. So what in our cases, the day we're born is not the most important day. The day that we achieve something in our life is far more important than the day that we were born. So does that mean that we do not even wish someone happy birthday? That's not what it means. It just means that somebody turns from 23 to 24 or 5 to 6 or whatever, birthday comes, you wish them, you pray for them, and you show your affection and your love, but you don't have to make it a day exclusively that, a whole party is arranged and this and that, so that when that child grows up, thinks that this is how birthdays are celebrated. This day is so important. I remember there was a guest here in 2020, 4 years ago, and about, I think it was in the month of January, that a couple of guests were visiting the mosque. They wanted to see the mosque. One of them was a lady from the UK, a high-ranking official, and the other was her son. So they both, took the tour of the mosque, and they were very happy. And so I told them that every year we do our annual conference in November, and I invited them to the conference. So especially the gentleman that lived in Jamaica, and I told him, and he was in a way excused himself, apologized or excused himself. He said that this year I turned 50, and that too in November. So I want to take this year to celebrate me, myself alone. I don't want to do anything else but celebrate. And I took his response, and I understand, because what he thinks is celebrating. But in reality, he's forgetting that connecting with God is far more important than celebrating, drinking, partying, traveling the world and this and that. And he said that this year, the whole year, I want to travel. That's what I want to do. This was January. And often when I think of this incident or this encounter, I'm reminded that how we as humans make plans. But then in the end, what happened in 2020 with COVID coming and the restrictions coming in place, nobody was able to go anywhere in that year. Probably one of the most restricted years in terms of traveling, in terms of moving about. So this is just, again, that is a side point. But my important thing is that how we give importance to these days, it's our own thing that we have created it, but not that God Almighty has asked us that we should do this. But rather, as we grow older, we are supposed to be thinking about our next life. If you're turning even 20, 30, 40, 50, what are you moving closer towards? You're moving closer towards your end. You're not moving closer towards, the beginning of your life. You're moving closer towards the end of your life, right? At every step of the way, we're moving closer to the end of our life. So we need to be thinking about tomorrow. When I say tomorrow, meaning the next life, that what are we preparing for that? And that is what the first verse that I read out also pointed out. So New Year's now, we still wish each other Happy New Year as well. We pray for each other. We even actually go out of our way and do tahajjud in a congregation together in the mosques around the world. So do we celebrate New Year? Celebration, when it comes to as the people celebrate it, no, we do not celebrate it that way. But we do have our own way of celebration. When we look at the world, what they do is they waste themselves on the eve of New Year. They spend time drinking, they spend time partying, they go out and do so much other types of foolishness. That's what their celebration means to them. But to us, it means that this is a fresh beginning, a new start that I am getting in my life. Whatever mistakes I made in the last year, I do not want to repeat them. I want my new year. I want this, my life from this day and on, to be a better life. This new resolve that we get on the new year is something that is worth celebrating. Not celebrating, as I said, in their way, but celebrating in a way that we feel excited that, all right, I let me do this right. Let me do this good. That is the celebration that we want to do. As Ahmadi Muslims, we end the year praying to God Almighty. End the year not celebrating, partying in that way, but praying to God Almighty. And we start the new year praying to God Almighty. Many Ahmadi Muslims around the world, just before 12, like at midnight time, if they're awake, what they do is they start nafil prayer, voluntary prayer. They start to worship God Almighty. They start the prayer. And then they start to pray. And in between that, the midnight time passes as well, and they continue to pray, and the new year has started. Because they don't want to enter in the new year while they're not praying, worshiping to God. They want to do it while they're worshiping. They want to end the last year on a high note that we were praying to God Almighty. We were not doing anything else at that time, right? So this is the mindset that we want to enter our new year, that this year we will be better human being, better person than we were in the past. We are seeking forgiveness in that moment for the whole year that has gone by. There must have been, there always are, because we are humans, we're weak, that we have made mistakes in the past. We are seeking forgiveness from Allah, that Allah forgives our mistakes, our past mistakes and sins, and lets us enter into the new year in a more pleasant and more humble, more righteous, more pious manner. Again, our seeking of forgiveness is not because of the drinking and partying that we were doing, as some people would do, that they would do all those things that the Bible forbids or Quran forbids. Next day, they would go to the place of worship to pray to God Almighty. No, we spend the night praying, seeking forgiveness for the sins that we may have made, in the mistakes we may have made in the year, and we start the year the same way, praying as well. So there's a very famous story of the fourth Khalifa, His Holiness Mirza Tahir Ahmad. When he was young, he lived in the UK for a while as a student. He was in England for a while as a student. And at that time, he mentions one story of his himself. He says that once I was traveling around New Year's Eve, and I was at inside in the central London, and I was at a subway station or a tube station, and he said that the clock was about to turn 12, and it was about to, the next year was about to begin. So as Ahmadi Muslims, as we all do, as Muslims we all do, I thought that I should start praying, I should start worshiping. So he said, I just laid down a piece of paper on the floor, and I started to offer my prayers. He said, while I was praying, a gentleman, sitting a little far away on a bench, started to cry. And in my prayer, I could hear him crying. And he said that I continued my prayer. And as soon as the prayer finished, I went and approached him to make sure he was all right. I asked him, sir, is everything all right? He said that I was just watching you pray. And I realized that my people, my nation, the British man, he was saying, that my people, my nation, they're upstairs, and meaning out of the train station outside up there, they're celebrating in ways that they're drinking, they're partying, they're doing other, immoral things. But here you are alone, meaning in the sense that without being bothered by what's around you, just by yourself praying to God Almighty. And this brought tears to my eyes. So Zuhu said that this is, you know, he, a humble man. He said that this was nothing special that I was doing. Every Ahmadi does this. But this moved that man so much because no one in the world, or hardly anybody in the world, truly reflects, thinks, prays to God in that manner. For Ahmadi Muslims, it's not a custom, it's not a tradition. It's rather our heart is always melting before the threshold of Allah. We are constantly praying and worshipping in every moment that we can find, especially in those moments when we are finishing a year, starting a new year, finishing one chapter and starting a new chapter in our lives. What are we doing? We are praying to God Almighty. This is how we celebrate our new year. We celebrate it and we feel refreshed, but this is how we celebrate it, right? So some of us, we like to wake up early in the morning before Fajr prayer, and usually at the mosques around the world, we offer prayers in congregation together, right? Even here at Mahdi Mosque, alhamdulillah, 5-6 of us on that morning, we were here offering tahajjud prayer, right? Tahajjud prayer, that is the prayer, the voluntary prayer that we offer before Fajr prayer. So we were doing that because we want to, again, start our year in a way where we are turning to God Almighty. We're praying to God Almighty. We are seeking His blessings rather than just saying that 23 to 24 happened and I went out for a drink and saying that, you know, I was celebrating. That is no celebration. Celebration is when I and you find a connection with God. That is the real celebration, right? So this is our celebration. One important point to remember regarding any new chapter, any new beginning, and as I said about New Year as well, you can also apply it to your birthday as well, that every year when you turn a year older, or as I said, at New Year as well, assess yourselves. Do an assessment of yourselves. I recited one verse from chapter 59, verse 19. Allah says, O ye who believe, fear Allah, and let every soul look to what it sends forth for tomorrow. Let every soul look to what it sends forth for tomorrow. This is important. Analyze, assessment, that what are we sending forward for our next life? How often do we stop and analyze this, assess this? If you listen to Friday sermons of Huzur, Huzur is constantly reminding us of this as well. Huzur says that assess yourself, jaiza, right? Analyze yourself, take an assessment of yourself, that how you have done in last year, how you have done today, how you did yesterday. Each day examine yourself. That is what is required from each and every one of us, right? And this is what God Almighty says in the Holy Quran as well. A few years ago, about 7 years ago, 8 years rather, in 7 years ago, in 2016, December 30th, 2016, Huzur, you know, gave a sermon at the conclusion of the year and starting of the new year, basically. And Huzur said that we should ask ourselves some questions. And Huzur posed a lot of questions that we should be asking ourselves. And I would encourage that each one of us should go back and read this sermon that is from 30th of December, 2016, and assess based on those questions at how we lived that year, what we did that year, what we achieved that year. And some of those questions, I just selected, there's only a few that have been selected here. Let me read these out to you. So one of the questions was that, have we tried to attain the highest standard in good morals? Did we try to improve our morals, or we just continue to live our life quietly without thinking too much about our moral health? How am I treating, faring with others? How am I taking care of my own hygiene, my cleanliness, my health, my spirituality? All these things come and are affected by our morals, right? So we have to improve our morals. How much work did we put into that? Have we been trying to provide benefit to mankind by utilizing all our faculties? Allah may have blessed you with money. Allah may have blessed you with knowledge. Allah may have blessed you with strength, power, different things. Have you used those things, different faculties, different abilities to benefit mankind? Then, are we trying to excel in showing sympathy to the creation of Allah the Almighty? sometimes because we get so much see so much negativity around us, that what we might do is that we might close ourselves. We, you know, put ourselves in a shell, and we stop showing sympathy. That should not happen. We should always continue to show love and kindness towards the creation of Allah, and always be trying to excel in that sympathy. Then another question is, have we protected ourselves from committing any kind of injustice? Injustice. Again, like, have we hurt anybody? Have we wronged anybody? These are all forms of injustices, right? In smaller scale, each and every person, whatever wrong we do, it is an injustice that we commit upon somebody. So this, have we protected ourselves? These are just a few questions. You can go and look in the whole sermon, and Azur has explained a lot of things just so that we can analyze and assess ourselves. So this is important, because this is what Allah says, that what have you sent for tomorrow? What are you sending for tomorrow? What preparation are you making for tomorrow? Now, the next point that I want to touch upon is our primary goal for the year ahead, for the year that is starting. What it is, what it should be, right? Should we just make worldly goals, or should we just say that, you know, I've lived 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever our ages are, and there is literally nothing that I can change in myself. Let me just continue to live the way I'm living. Let's not plan. Let's not think. Let's not do anything. If this is what we are thinking, then that is very dangerous thought. We should always be looking to improve ourselves. We should be looking for that change. We want to change ourselves and bring a change, a positive change in our communities, in our societies. But if we don't act accordingly, like, for example, I say that, oh, in our community, in our society, there's too much violence, or there's too much, you know, fighting and different things like that. People are not patient. People are not tolerant. If this is all that I am saying, then I'm not the one that is bringing any change. If I'm saying this, then I need to, number one, change my character, so that when others look at me, they can learn to make some change to themselves as well. Are we trying to do that? Or are we also just getting angry and upset every time, just like other people are getting angry and upset? This is important to reflect upon, that the change that we want, we have to become that change. Allah says in the Quran that Allah does not reform a nation until they reform themselves. So we want our place, our communities, our country, our nation to excel. We have to become that change. When we become that change in our community, in our society, automatically there starts to be a ripple effect of that, and things start to improve in the world as well. Recently, I came across one book when I was reading an article on the same topic on New Year resolutions in Review of Religions. And I found the book to be very beautiful. The book is called The Journey. And it talks about two characters. One is called Big Panda. It's an animal, right? And the other is a tiny dragon. So they're both journeying together. They're both traveling. And they're passing through different seasons. Winter, autumn, you know, spring and whatnot. They're going through rains and different types of weathers. And they're experiencing different things. Sometimes they see like a beautiful mountain with a valley. Sometimes they might be passing by like a dead tree or a tree with a lot of leaves and, you know, different looking very nice and good. Or they might be passing by some other thing. So all these different things they're experiencing on their journey. And in the book, it's a picture book, really. It's almost for children, but with a lot of deeper profound messages. So one of the things that, you know, the dragon asks, the dragon asks the panda, asks the dragon that, you know, life is tough, different things, the weather is tough, all these things, there's these challenges in life. How do you keep going? Asks the tiny dragon. And sometimes the big panda replies, sometimes, the said big panda, even the smallest step is better than no step. So this is important to remember, that we should not give up in our life thinking that what we are seeing today would always stay this way. No, it can improve. It has to improve. But how does it improve? as if the things are tough, then what you do? You take the smallest step, because that is better than no step at all, right? In the same book, there was another very interesting picture, a graphic, and a reminder to each and every one of us, that I'll quickly share that with you as well. It says that the tiny dragon says that, "I want to change the world." And the big panda replies, "Start with the next person who needs your help." Right? Again, a very simple reminder. This is the teaching of Islam, that don't become discouraged. Don't lose hope. Don't think that you cannot do anything. You can. You are going to do something if you put your mind to it. If you give up, then obviously nothing will change in the society. In a society, in a community, maybe 99% of people have given up. If you also give up, then who's going to bring that change that we desire, that we want in our nation, in our communities, in our societies? So we have to become that change. This is the Islamic philosophy, even if it is small. Look at Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The society, the community he was born in, the nation he was born in, was the most corrupt nation. When you look at their character, their morals, right? But what did he do? He lived by his principles. He continued to help people. He continued to exhort people to do good. And his wife, said about him that you possess those qualities which are long forgotten in our people. Those good qualities, you possess them. And this is basically the teaching of Islam, that if you continue to make difference in the world, little by little, you might not feel it, that what is this going to do? But if you continue to make a difference in your surroundings, at your household, in your house, in your neighborhood, in your community, it will have a ripple effect, and it would affect the whole world. As long as you are sincere, you are true, you are honest, Allah might bring you in a position where you can bring bigger change as well. Right? That is what Allah does with the prophets. They continue to live their lives, and small changes they are making in their world. And then Allah brings them in a position, through them, Allah brings up a huge positive change in the world. There's a quote of Rumi, Maulana Rumi. It is shared by one of the participants. It says, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself." Right? What a beautiful quotation. He says, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself." That, he says that in a lifetime I've learned that just trying to change the world, I thought that's what I need to do. But when I realized, when I became a little wiser, when I became a little older, I realized that I need to change myself. When I do that, automatically, that is the best I can do, right? That itself would have an impact on the people around me, right? Maulana Rumi is a well-known saint, well-known poet, well-known saint, well-known writer in the Islamic world, as well as around the world. People read his quotations, read his books, read his poetry for inspiration, right? To bring that change into their lives. And what is he is saying is that when, before he was thinking, just like most of us, that we're going to change the world. But as you grow, as you get wiser, if you get wiser, you realize that I have to change myself. When I will succeed at that, I will have done my part and possibly along the way help some other people as well. So now moving on quickly, I want to share point I can say I want to cover today, setting New Year's resolutions. So when New Year begins, are Muslims, can we set our New Year's resolution? Should we do that? The answer is yes, we should do that. Allah says that set your goals. Allah wants us to set our goals, but our goals Allah wants us to set that are positive, that are not just greedy, selfish, but rather that benefit our spiritual health as well as the spiritual health of others, that help us, educate ourselves, educate those around us. These are the types of goals that we should be setting. So I have just I'm going to put a little graphic in front of us, just to keep it brief and short. So Islamic guidance in regards to New Year's resolution, we should keep in mind. Allah says in chapter 53, verse 40, that and that man will have nothing but what he strives for. That we will get nothing in our lives, we'll achieve nothing in our lives except what we strive for. So what that means is that you should set your resolutions, but effort is required to achieve those goals. If we do analyzing, or if we, you know, of our previous year's self, and we say we want to improve, but we may put no effort into our lives, then nothing will change. Effort is required to achieve anything in life. Whatever you get in your life, it will only be after you strive. Then Allah says in chapter 18, verse 24, and say not of anything, I am going to do it tomorrow. Don't say about things that I'll do them tomorrow. Meaning is, don't procrastinate. A new year has come. There are things in your life that you've been wanting to do for a very long time, perhaps, right? Good things, healthy things, helpful things. So don't procrastinate, but do them, perform them, right? And then one more hadith that I want to share is that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said that the acts most pleasing to Allah are those which are done continuously, even if they are small. And when Aisha, the wife of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, may Allah be pleased with her. And when Aisha did any act, she did it continuously. So what that tells us is that our goals can be small, but they should be followed through with consistency, regularly, not stopping. If we go out, lift weights, if we do go out, run a marathon, it will not help us in the long run. In the long run, even if you're lifting, you know, lesser weight, but more consistently, if you're running even a little bit on the treadmill, you know, like around your neighborhood, community, or walking, or whatever you're doing, depending on your circumstances, even if you're doing a little bit, it will help you achieve more in your life than just doing it for a short, you know, one quick time or for a little bit of time. This was the teaching of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not like when people set goals that were so complicated or so challenging that they could not keep up with them. For example, there was one companion of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He said that, O Prophet of Allah, I want to observe fasting. I want to fast every single day. I want to fast every single day. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, no, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. And that same companion, he says that when I got older, so he said that because of Holy Prophet's instruction, instead of doing it every day, I started to fast every other day. But then it says when I got older, I realized that even this was challenge, this was hard to keep up with. And if I had promised to fast every single day, do fasting every single day, it would have been impossible. I would not have been able to keep up. So this is what's important, that it's not about doing things quickly. It's about doing small and consistently, because that is what brings great rewards. As Muslims, we do not say that we just pray once. We pray five times a day, one day for the whole year and we're done. No. Or we pray just, you know, like so much worship in one day that we forget about God for the rest of the year. No, that is not going to get us anywhere. We have to do consistently, even if our goals are very, very small. So this is important to remember, that we must set goals. We must set resolutions. Allah wants us to do that. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, wants us to do that. He wants us to, they want us to set goals, but follow through with them consistently. And if they're difficult, then just make them smaller, simpler, easier, and follow through with them and continue to do them, right? And don't just make this regarding worldly things. It can be, like, for example, if you say that I want to learn a language, right? There are apps on your phone. You can just go every day, 3 to 4 minutes, spend some time on that app. If you do that every single day for the whole year, by the end of the year, you would have achieved a lot in your life in terms of learning that language. You would have learned a lot, right? That a lot of things when you're communicating with people, you would be able to understand, right? When somebody's speaking that language or at least reading, you'd be able to do that. So similarly, like, I mean, that is just one example. Let's say that you don't have a habit of reading. You start reading every day, little by little, little by little. Just one page a day, right? Or even one, like few lines a day of some book. At the end of the year and going forward, making that a permanent habit, you would have known more things that you knew in the past year, right? Same thing with our health. We're gaining weight, we're losing weight, whatever, wherever we stand, we need to set small targets that this is what I want to do. And we try to follow through with them as best as we can. But then don't just make it in these, you know, these types of things alone. Make it for spiritual things as well. Pray that I'm going to read, you know, make a goal resolution that I'm going to read one page of the Holy Quran every day. Not too much, at least that much. I'm going to make sure that I do my daily prayers every day. I'm going to make sure, if I'm doing those already, then I'm going to offer tahajjud, the early morning prayer, at least once a week. And if you're doing that, then twice a week, right? Increase and improve little by little and continuously. This is what we need to do. So don't set goals only for worldly things, but also set goals for your spiritual things as well. So that each year, as you know, we're getting older, we should be getting wiser and closer to Allah the Almighty in our relationship. In our journey towards God Almighty, we should be moving forward, not backwards, or not staying stagnant. Moving forward, this is what we need to do. So again, this was just the message that I wanted to share with all of us, a reminder to all of us that by the grace of Almighty Allah, we have entered a new year. But that does not mean that we just continue to live as we're living, but rather consider this a fresh start. Consider this another chapter or a new beginning or a new opportunity Allah has given you to improve yourself. So take this opportunity, set your goals, both for your spiritual health, physical health, mental, emotional health, financial health, right? Job and money and upgrading yourself, whatever is necessary. Set your goals for all these different categories and try to work upon them. That is what a believer, this is how a believer celebrates his new year. They do not celebrate by indulging themselves more in worldly things, but rather they set their goals at what is going to help them, improve them. This is what a new year means or should mean to an Ahmadi Muslim anywhere in the world. So after this message, I say Jazakallah to all of you. One of our friends on WhatsApp had messaged me that they had asked me a question. It was sent a little late. I was not able, because I'd already announced the topic for today. The topic that they wanted me to look at was, you can say that, you know, they were asking this question. So I often take their questions and discuss them in our classes. The topic was, how does one become a Muslim and what's the benefit of it? So perhaps, and you know, maybe next week or the week after, we can inshallah take up this question and look at that as well. So if any one of you have any questions, or those of our members, Muslims, if sometimes I know that you communicate or you speak about Islam to others as well, and they ask you questions. I know you try to answer them as best as you can, but again, if you need, I mean, you can share, and then we can take up that question in our meeting so that you have that knowledge from Islamic point of view, and you can share that knowledge with others as well. So may Allah help us all. May Allah guide us all. I pray that this new year that we have entered into, it brings peace and prosperity for all of us. May Allah help us all, guide us all. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muhammadur Rasul.